maybe some small articles on a, or a poetry. So Kartik Bose read that. It was lying, the diary was lying and the notebook was lying on the table. So he opened it and he read it. And he asked Prabhupada's sister, who wrote this? So she said, it is Prabhupada who wrote that. So Kartik Bose told her to tell Prabhupada to see him. So when Prabhupada came back, Prabhupada's sister told that Kartik Bose wanted to see him, or rather wanted him to see him. So Prabhupada went to see Kartik Bose, and Kartik Bose asked him, what are you doing? So Prabhupada said that he was in the share market, selling shares. And Kartik Bose said, that is not a dignified job. He said, why don't you join my company? He had a pharmaceutical company. But Prabhupada refused. Prabhupada didn't want to take up a job. So then Kartik Bose went and told Prabhupada's father. And Prabhupada's father persuaded Prabhupada and told him that, look, this is not taking up a service as such. It's not taking up a job. It is like your family, like family business. Kartik Bose is like your uncle, and it's his company. He wants you to join this company. So what's the harm? So when Prabhupada's father persuaded him, so Prabhupada joined this company. And Kartik Bose right away made him the manager of that company. And Prabhupada was just a young man, fresh from the college. And there were so many experienced people in the company. They got very envious. Prabhupada was telling that they would not cooperate with him and tried to do all kinds of things with him. Because they could not tolerate that such a young boy became their boss. Came from nowhere and just became their boss. And not only the employees, but even the directors of the company, they also were very surprised that Kartik Bose appointed such a young man for such a responsible position. And in the board meeting, they told Kartik Bose, why did you appoint such a young man as the manager of the company? Then Kartik Bose replied, I didn't appoint him because of his age, but I gave him that position because of his efficiency, because of his ability. So Prabhupada saying, and soon enough they all realized that Kartik Bose's judgment was very true. And so then after a while, Prabhupada's father wanted him to get married. So his father, in India, when you get married, not you, but when somebody gets married, the brides or the daughter's parents send out pictures, and actually daughter's parents make the negotiation. It is actually the custom that the boy's family receives the many proposals from the girl's side. So when Prabhupada's father wanted Prabhupada to get married, he got a lot of proposals from different people. They wanted their daughters to become Prabhupada's wife. So finally Prabhupada's father showed Prabhupada two pictures. The one girl was very beautiful, and the other girl was not so beautiful, and told him, so you decide who you want to marry. And then said, you would naturally like to get married to this beautiful girl, but if you want to take my advice, then I would suggest that you get married. You don't marry this beautiful one, you marry this other girl. Because if you get married to this beautiful woman, then you'll become very attached to her and you won't be able to advance in spiritual life. So Prabhupada took his father's advice and he decided to marry this less beautiful girl. And so Prabhupada got married, and then after a while Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Prabhupada had a friend from the Mallik family. Malliks are very well-known families in Calcutta. And so this Mallik met a sadhu. And he came and told Prabhupada to come and see this sadhu. I said that I met a very wonderful sadhu and I want you to also see, meet him. But Prabhupada didn't want to meet any sadhu at that time because he was not really, he didn't have any faith in so-called sadhus of India. They are just in the garb of sadhus, most of them are just cheats or foolish people. So Prabhupada said, no, I'm not interested. And then this friend kept on insisting, no, you must come. This sadhu is different. He is not like others. So being persuaded by him, Prabhupada went to meet this sadhu, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And so as he offered his obeisances and got up, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him, you all intelligent, educated people, you should take up the responsibility of preaching Mahaprabhu's message all over the world. So at that time, Prabhupada opposed to this instruction of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, saying, unless and until India becomes free, nobody will have respect for Indian culture. So first of all, we have to free India. Those days Prabhupada was involved in Gandhi's non-violence movement. So that's why he said like that. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him, Mahaprabhu's message is not dependent on India's freedom or dependence. Like Mahaprabhu's message is transcendental, and India's political condition or economical condition has nothing to do with Mahaprabhu's message. So this way he convinced Prabhupada that Mahaprabhu's message is the most important thing and that must be spread all over the world. But then when they were going back, so his friend asked him, Prabhupada's friend asked Prabhupada, so what do you think of this sadhu? So Prabhupada replied, now the responsibility of spreading Mahaprabhu's message has come onto someone who is going to do something about it. So that was Prabhupada's prediction about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And so Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, although Prabhupada at that time did not become a full-time devotee, but Prabhupada became very obsessed with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instruction to him. And he felt that he should dedicate his life in propagating the message of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But he was a householder, a service holder. So he felt that as long as he is working under somebody in a job, his time actually belongs to that man. So he doesn't have the time. So he decided to quit from the job and start his business. So one day he submitted a resignation letter that he was going to resign. So Kartik Bhosh became very upset. He called Prabhupada and said, why do you want to resign? So Prabhupada said, Prabhupada told him that he met a sadhu, a great person, and he told him to spread Mahaprabhu's message. So he decided to act according to that sadhu's instruction. And now that he has his service, he doesn't have the time. So he decided to have a business so that his time will be his time and he will somehow maintain his family through that business and he will dedicate himself in fulfilling the instruction of that sadhu. So then Kartik Bhosh told him, why do you want, okay fine, if you want to start your business, so you take up the soul selling agency of my products in North India. So he gave him the soul selling agency of his pharmaceutical products. So Prabhupada accepted that and he went to Allahabad and he started a business, pharmaceutical business and the agency of Kartik Bhosh's products. And so this way, Prabhupada started a new phase of his life. And there again, in Allahabad, again he met some of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples. And then he accepted initiation from him in 1933. And then in 1936, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left the planet. But before leaving the planet, he told Prabhupada that he should print books with whatever money he gets and must try his best to preach in the Western world. So this instruction was very deeply rooted in Prabhupada's heart, and he was always meditating on how he was going to fulfill the instruction of his spiritual master. And also there were a few other things. Anyway, instead of going into the details, then Prabhupada was telling him that since then he was trying to come to the West and preach Mahaprabhu's message. And he was telling that those days I used to think that I would make a lot of money from my business, and then with that money I would go to the West and start preaching. And he says that that was what I was thinking, but Mahaprabhu, when the time came, he sent me to the West as a pauper, as a person who has no money at all. But he gave everything that was needed. And whatever I needed, he provided. Men came, money came, everything came, and so many temples have been built. And so he was telling that actually this is my Guru Maharaj's mercy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy that it has been possible like this. And actually Prabhupada was telling that Mahaprabhu proved it, that his message will spread just by his own mercy. No, that Mahaprabhu's message does not depend on any material condition. It is not that only when you have a lot of money we'll be able to spread Mahaprabhu's movement. What it needs is earnest sincerity, and Prabhupada, in his own life, Prabhupada has proved it. And then, so this way, Prabhupada, I had the good fortune to listen to this narration from Prabhupada's own mouth. He was telling Bimalananda Tarkatirtha. So another wonderful incident I remember from that time was Prabhupada was... I told Prabhupada that I wanted to learn Sanskrit. Then Prabhupada said, why do you want to learn Sanskrit? So I was telling Prabhupada, because I want to do this, So I was giving reasons why I wanted to learn Sanskrit. Of course, none of the reasons were sound enough. So Prabhupada said, no. He said that we do not really make an endeavor to learn something new. Whatever we know, we simply use it in Krishna's service. Whatever we know, that just we use that. So there is no need to learn Sanskrit. And he said, there are so many Sanskrit pandits, but what's the use? What's the use of their Sanskrit knowledge? What actually matters is to become a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I was convinced. I decided, well, Prabhupada didn't want me to learn Sanskrit. Then Prabhupada told me, you read my books, and you will learn Sanskrit just by reading my books. And then after that, Prabhupada said, you know Sanskrit. And I kind of was very surprised, because I did learn some Sanskrit in school, and I had a teacher to teach me Sanskrit, but that was practically nothing. And I couldn't understand why Prabhupada said that. I was fumbling. I was saying, well, Prabhupada, yes, I learned something in the school, but that is not enough. But Prabhupada didn't say anything. Then one day, Prabhupada was having a talk with this doctor, Bimalananda Tarkatirtha, and Prabhupada was discussing with him about the age of Kali. And then Prabhupada came to one point where he wanted to read something, find out something from the 12th canto. So Prabhupada asked me to get the 12th canto from the next room. So Prabhupada had this Sanskrit Srimad Bhagavatam. So he asked me to get the 12th canto, so I got the 12th canto. So Prabhupada asked me to get certain chapter, so I opened the chapter. Then Prabhupada said, okay, now read. And so I just kept on reading loud. And I couldn't believe my ears myself. I was, and then when I came to that point where that shloka that Prabhupada wanted, Prabhupada said, yes, that's it. So Prabhupada recited that shloka and made the point to Bimalananda Tarkatirtha. Then after Bimalananda Tarkatirtha went back to his room, I was alone with Prabhupada in his room. So then Prabhupada asked me, so where did you learn Sanskrit? And I didn't know what to say. I was just quiet. And then after a few days, Prabhupada wanted to go to Bombay. And so when Prabhupada was going to Bombay, Bhavananda Maharaj told me that I couldn't go with Prabhupada. I thought that I would go with Prabhupada and I was all ready. But he said, no, you can't go to Bombay. There is so much to do in Mayapur, you must stay in Mayapur. So, and I was very upset. I thought, here I had this one opportunity to be with Prabhupada and now I can't go to Bombay with Prabhupada. But then I felt, actually Bhavananda Maharaj made me understand that Prabhupada will have many, many, others will be there to serve Prabhupada, so I don't need to go. And so the day before Prabhupada was leaving, Prabhupada asked me, so are you coming? I said, no, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, why not? I said, Prabhupada, Bhavananda Maharaj told me not to go. So Prabhupada didn't say anything. But then Bhavananda Maharaj came to me. Prabhupada must have told him. And he said, so you pack up. You are going with Prabhupada. So I was very, very happy. So we went to Bombay. And in Bombay, Prabhupada was supposed to stay in the temple. But in the temple, the new building, Prabhupada's quarters were not complete. So Prabhupada was very annoyed that his quarters were not ready. So, but Prabhupada said, I will stay here. Even though it is not ready, I am going to stay here. Though there was cement all around, the windows haven't been fixed, but Prabhupada said that he was going to stay. But then the devotees told Prabhupada that there was going to be the program, Pandal program in Bombay city, and the temple is so far away. So it is better if Prabhupada stays in some life member's house. So then Prabhupada agreed, and the ultimatum was given that the Prabhupada's quarters has to be ready within 6 days or 1 week. And they were practically working day and night. They were actually 26 hours a day to finish that place. And so Prabhupada stayed in the house of one industrialist called Kartikeya Mahadevia. And they have cotton mills. A very nice man. And he actually he had a huge flat, very nice flat right on the beach, and a big apartment. And he just kept one room for himself. He had two daughters. He sent his daughters out to some place And rest of the flat he just gave to Prabhupada. And we were four of us. Prabhupada, with Prabhupada we are four of us. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Bhavananda Maharaj, Upendra and myself. So Upendra actually was asked to come to India to become Prabhupada's servant. And so Upendra joined us in Bombay. And so we were there and we had a beautiful time. Like Prabhupada would go to the evening program and would give a real wonderful fired up lecture, smash all the karmis, all the mayavadis and everything, and establish the points. And then he would come back. And when Prabhupada would come back, he would look so exhausted. Because Prabhupada's health was not very good at that time. He was totally exhausted. So when he would come back to the flat, then I would massage Prabhupada's feet or his back, his head, give him a massage. And Prabhupada would ask me, "So, how did you like my lecture?" So I would say, "Well, Prabhupada, this is very nice." Then Prabhupada said, "So, tell me, what did you like so much about that lecture?" So I had to tell him what I liked. And then one day, I remember, Prabhupada asked me to read from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I was reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So after translation, I was saying, purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the way we read it out in the class. And each time I would read out, purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, "Is that written in the book?" So, and then Prabhupada went to Bombay temple after the program, and Prabhupada's quarters were very nicely decorated. It was all ready. Only the lift was not ready. Lift was ready, but it was taking only Prabhupada up and down, but not for regular use. And it was very nice. Prabhupada's quarters in Bombay is beautiful, all very beautifully done up. And but Prabhupada's health was bad. And those days, Mother Palika was cooking for Prabhupada. And I was serving Prabhupada. She couldn't take the plate to Prabhupada. So she would cook and then she would make the plate. Then I would take the plate to Prabhupada and offer it to him. And Prabhupada would take it and then I would bring the plate back. And so then one day Palika became sick. Oh yeah, before that one incident happened, that was also very nice. One day Prabhupada wanted to have some orange juice one morning. And in the kitchen there was no orange. Then I went down. So that means I had to climb down the 6 flights of stairs look around in the deity kitchen and devotee kitchen. And finally I think I got some oranges in the deity kitchen. But by the time I brought the oranges to Prabhupada's kitchen and started to make the orange juice, it was already quite late. So Prabhupada rang the bell. Prabhupada used to call us by ringing a bell. So that was fixed to Prabhupada's. Wherever Prabhupada used to be, we used to keep the bell so that Prabhupada could just press the bell and we would know Prabhupada wanted us. So Prabhupada pressed the bell. So I went in. Prabhupada said, what happened to the orange juice? I said, "Prabhupada, I'm just bringing it." So then I was making it. So it took some time. And so by the time I finished, I just about to finish, then the bell rang again. And this time, the bell just kept on ringing and ringing and ringing. I knew that Prabhupada must be very angry. So I just picked up that glass, put it on a silver plate, and ran to Prabhupada's room. But when I opened the room, I heard something like a thunderclap. And Prabhupada was so angry, he just screamed at me. He said, "You take it away from here, I don't want it." And Prabhupada just told me to get out of the room. He didn't want that orange juice. He was so annoyed with me. And anyway, I couldn't go back, so I had no other way but to go forward. So with the plate in the hand, and I just kept on walking towards Prabhupada's table. And step by step I went, and then I held it in front of Prabhupada. So at first Prabhupada didn't pick up the glass, and then finally he picked up, and he began to drink. So when he began to drink, then I realized that I didn't take the bowl of water to wash his mouth. So I just ran to the kitchen, got the bowl of water, and then I would hold the bowl of water to Prabhupada's mouth, and Prabhupada would take some water, and then he would spit it out after cleansing his mouth. And then I realized that I forgot to bring the towel to wipe Prabhupada's face. So I again I didn't go to the kitchen, I just ran to Prabhupada's cupboard. There were some napkins and small towels, so I picked up a napkin. And then I was wiping Prabhupada's mouth. And then when I was cleaning the table, and just picked up the plate with the glass and bowl and wiped the table, I was wiping the table. And Prabhupada said, "You are trying to serve me so nicely, but I always chastise you." And he said, "You see, when one becomes old, one becomes short-tempered." And so when Prabhupada said that, when Prabhupada blasted me, I didn't mind so much, I didn't feel so bad. But when Prabhupada started to speak like that, it was so heavy, I couldn't take it. And I just wanted to tell Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, please don't speak like that." But I felt my voice choked and I couldn't speak up. And then finally I told Prabhupada, "Please don't speak like that. I make mistakes and you correct me. If you don't do that, then what will happen to me?" Then Prabhupada stopped. He didn't say anything. Then after a few days, one day Palika became sick, and another Mataji cooked for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada told her what to cook, how to cook. And so those days Prabhupada was eating only once a day. Only during the noontime Prabhupada would eat something, and the rest of the day Prabhupada wouldn't take anything. He couldn't eat anything actually. So I brought this plate of prasad to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada would just take something and he would spit it out. And I was seeing that Prabhupada couldn't eat anything. So I asked Prabhupada, "She couldn't, isn't the prasad all right?" Then Prabhupada said, "No, she doesn't know how to cook." And so I just told him, "Prabhupada, should I try to cook for you tomorrow?" Prabhupada said, "Yes, you can try." And so I was very happy. So the next day, next morning Prabhupada told me. I asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, what should I cook?" Then Prabhupada told me, "You get this, you get that." And then he showed me one preparation. That's called Bati Chachari. I prepared that yesterday. I don't know whether you all had that. Of course, the quantity was not very much. But Guru Shakti knows it was burning and he could sense it. So this is the preparation. It is cooked with, Prabhupada told me to cook it with potatoes and potol. Potol is some kind of small melon. You don't get them here. Those who have been to India, I'm sure you know what it is. It looks like a mridanga, small. And So Prabhupada asked me to get some pottle and potatoes cut in certain shape. And then Prabhupada asked me to get the turmeric and red chili. So Prabhupada asked me to put red chili, put a lot of red chili. Prabhupada said, put more. So there was a lot of red chili. Prabhupada asked me to put the turmeric. I put a lot of turmeric also. Then Prabhupada told me, okay, now stop. He said, then Prabhupada asked me to get the can of mustard oil that we were carrying a can of mustard oil for Prabhupada's massage. Prabhupada used to have a massage with mustard oil and sandalwood oil. And so he asked me to get that can of mustard oil. Actually, he used to have the massage oil in a bottle, a small bottle mixed with sandalwood oil also. And so I got that can of mustard oil. So Prabhupada asked me to pour. And so at that time, Prabhupada was having a massage. So Prabhupada asked me to pour the oil in the pot. So I just kept on pouring. And Prabhupada didn't say anything. And I thought maybe Prabhupada didn't notice. And I've already put so much mustard oil. So I just tilted it back and stopped pouring. And Prabhupada said, what happened? Why you stopped pouring? Just put more mustard oil. And so I kept on pouring, and then a lot of mustard oil. And then he told me, now you put some water to the that covers all the sabjis, all the vegetables. And then put it on the fire. And the water will dry out, and then there will be a sound, like chot, 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 chot. And so let it burn for a while. So when it is burnt, it will burn for a while, and then you cool it, and then you scrape it from the bottom. And mix it, because the turmeric, so much turmeric will form a crust at the bottom. So I cooked it, and I cooked few other sabjis, and I cooked a shukta. It's a bitter preparation. So Prabhupada liked the shukta, and Prabhupada liked surprisingly Prabhupada liked all the preparations. And after I would serve Prabhupada would take the prasad. Then after wiping Prabhupada's mouth and taking the plates, I would bring the plate and wipe the table clean, and then Prabhupada would sit there for a few minutes, and then Upendra would come and take Prabhupada to the bed, and Prabhupada would take a little rest. So I was in the kitchen cleaning the pots. Then Upendra came running. He said, hey, what did you cook today? Prabhupada was all praise about it. He said, Prabhupada asked me whether I tried it, and he told me to try it because he liked it very much. And so Upendra tried it, and then at 4 o'clock, Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to come to Prabhupada and take dictations for letters. And Prabhupada told him also that he asked him whether he tasted the food I cooked. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said yes, and Prabhupada was very happy that the prasadam was very good. So... But the next day I blew it. I cooked the shukta, the bitter preparation. It was not quite all right. It became a little too liquidy. And so when I served Prabhupada took that. That was the bitter preparation, was the first preparation you take. Prabhupada just took that. He didn't like it. And he said, what's the matter with you? So you don't have any standard. One day you will cook and I'll praise you, and the next day you are gone. And so I was very worried and very upset that Prabhupada didn't like my cooking that day. I got a little puffed up, and Prabhupada smashed me like that. Or Krishna smashed me like that. So then the next day I was thinking that today if I blow it, that means that there goes my service to Prabhupada. Actually, all this while I used to desire very much that if I could cook for Prabhupada. Because I was with Prabhupada and I was doing different things, like At 7 o'clock, I would take all the newspapers to Prabhupada and read them out to him. And then after that, I would serve him breakfast. And then Prabhupada would like to see what I translated. I would read out the translations. Then Prabhupada would give me dictations of letters. So this way it was going on. I was hanging there all the time, but still I had more times that I could use in serving Prabhupada. So I was thinking that if I could cook for Prabhupada, it would be so nice. So I went, and the third day, when I went to the kitchen, all the time I was in great anxiety, and I was thinking that if I blow it today, I would be totally finished. And so, in great anxiety, I cooked and then served Prabhupada with my heart beating really hard and fast. And then Prabhupada took different preparations. He ate it, didn't say anything. Then when he finished, I asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, was the cooking all right today?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes, today was all right." Then I told him, "Prabhupada, I was in so much anxiety all the time." Prabhupada says, "Good, when you are serving your spiritual master, you should be in anxiety." And so I think I stop now. But maybe tomorrow evening I'll continue again. Right? Because it's already 9:15. So all glories to Srila Prabhupada.